Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Diggs, G-I-G-G-S, no, Rodri.
Is there anything that Lionel Messi is better than you at?
Stop doing it. I respect your opinion. Maybe in your opinion Messi is better than me, but in my mind I'm better than him. I do it again.
Everything is on me, gon' back it up. Matter what, told you I'ma do me. Why you hating on me? It's not adding up. I do roll like a Mack truck. Country heart, I'ma cop a farm and go act up. Lot of scars, I was cold hearted, now I'm back up. Keep it real, I do this once a month. I don't rap much. I just hit the money and go stack up. Only buy a car, hard car, cards, so you tat it up. All that other bull, it don't matter much. You only climb me, I put the ladders up.
No fault. I done doubled up on the workload. I think I fell in love with the bankroll. Pray up, get money, then we lay low. Then we lay low. Add it up, bankroll, euro, peso, add it up. I'm just doing me, everything is on me. Oh, you matter what? Add it up.
Yes, guys, I'm Si. Welcome to what is normally Rodri Giggs and Football. However, Rodri texted me when I was just doing the Cardiff City show. He's come down with a sickness bug in the last couple of hours. So I'm on my lonesome. I was hoping to get a nice surprise for people, but unfortunately, he's just finished his show, so he's unable to join us as well. So I'm going to just do a quick rundown of the usual, the stories from around the football world. And if anyone's got questions and stuff like that, I'll answer them and stuff like that. We'll just have a bit of fun, bit of a live stream, bit of a roundup of the football news, because there is some interesting stories and interesting things going on in the old world of football. So let's have a bit of interaction this evening as we look to spend the next sort of 40 minutes or so. But as always, when it's just me. And it's this type of thing, a bit old school. Like, I haven't done one of these for a while, like a proper long one. So if you've got questions, you want to talk about a particular subject, whatever it may be, get involved, have your say, all that good stuff. As always, big shout out to the Sports Social for hosting the audio side of the podcast and all the other shows as well. And we will do the Super Six prediction later on. I'll do mine, but also a roundup of our charity Super Six League and stuff like that. We do the fantasy football and the Super Six. So let's have a little look at the roundup that Will has sent me this evening. Charity updates. Ex-Cardiff City legend Cohen Griffith had 14 points this week, but he didn't take top spot because Steve Mayled, also on 14 points, had a closer golden goal prediction. In the fantasy league, our very own Rodri Giggs had a joint highest score with James Breen, both 104 points for the week, massive. That score means Rodri extends his lead in our Fantasy Premier League battle to 164-point difference. I scored 69 points this week. Oh, it's not too bad, is it? Come on. But the Super 6 hasn't been going much better for me recently, as Rodri scored 9, I scored 4. There's a 28-point gap. But look, I battered him for the last two seasons, so I'm just trying to build his confidence a little bit, you know? Just trying to help him out, give him the old scratch on the head. Buddy, come on. I've beaten you for two seasons. Let's go. Evening, Reese's mum, even Willie, Reese's Louise, welcome. Good to see you all jumping over from the Cardiff City show. I like to see it. So one of the stories which really caught my eye, and I don't know if you'd call it investigating, but I did a little bit of investigating in it, was rumours that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer was going to take over. There was a point yesterday where it looked like he might take over for the rest of the season. He's still being heavily linked with the job at Bayern. Thomas Tuchel is leaving at the end of the season, which I find fascinating because obviously he didn't do a very good job at Cardiff. Some say he didn't do a good job at United. I think there's probably a bit of room where he did, and there's an argument for both in certain aspects. But like the Bayern job obviously being a massive job. But I spoke to a friend of mine who lives just outside Munich, and yesterday, and he said that like the feeling in the local news and things like that, and there's some journalists reporting it, is I think his Freund is the like technical director, is a really big fan of the way Solskjaer plays football and goes about his business. And apparently his reputation as a manager in Europe is a lot better than what it is maybe in the UK. Like, he gets mocked a lot. But ultimately, when you put him up against the Lampards and Gerrards of the world, he did a pretty good job at United, really. Like, and how much of it is down to that like, kind of toxic squad that they've got? I know they've got rid of some, but there was a big problem with players kind of downing tools and stuff like that. And maybe he's not as bad as people think. I don't know. It's an interesting one because he was awful at Cardiff. But, and if you checked out my interview, which I'd done with Kevin Jones a while ago, there was also a bit of interference from upstairs with certain, like the manager playing, the manager being told to play certain players in weird positions and stuff like that. So it's crazy. Like, I do think it's a real interesting one. I wouldn't have saw it. And then the rumors kind of come up, and then it's interesting. It's interesting. What's more interesting is Harry Kane going to Bayern Munich, who've won the title for the last 5 years or something, and potentially not winning a trophy again is like, there's such bad luck for him. But then I did have an interesting conversation with someone yesterday about Harry Kane, no doubt he's a top striker, right? He's top finisher, top goal scorer, all the rest of it. We know this. But you could argue Spurs have improved as a team this year without him. He's gone to Bayern, he's scored goals, blah, blah, blah. But they're not going to win, well, they might not win the league after dominating it for the last several seasons. And the thing that I compared it to in this conversation was when Ruud van Nistelrooy was at United, I think he was at United for 4 or 5 seasons, they only won the title once. He scored 230-odd goals in 200 appearances, like an unbelievable record, a superb, one of the best centre-forwards I've seen play in the Premier League in terms of finishing and goals ratio and the rest of it. But United, as a team, you would argue, were better before and after he left, like in terms of the functionality and the team playing as a overall unit. So it's kind of interesting to me. Like, I don't know. I rate Kane. I think he's a really good player. I think he's not just a good scorer. He's a good player. He offers a lot. So it's going to be interesting. Mbappe going to Madrid, taking like 120 million signing on fee. And then he's only getting 15 million a year in wages, bless him. But like, he was always going to go there. No one else was going to pay him that money that he's getting. It always makes me laugh because you hear like the Barcelona and the Madrid chairmans and boards, people are saying how they can't compete with the Premier League and stuff like that financially and blah, blah, blah. And then, like, you pay that much money to, like, you know, and don't get me wrong, he's the arguably, like, the best sort of young up and coming, whatever you want to say, in his position and whatnot. Like, he's, you know, he's a game changer by all means. But it brings up another interesting conversation, which is, like, when you look at, say, Madrid or Barcelona or United, and you say, oh, they've spent all this money and blah, 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 right? So look at Hoyland as an example, costs 64 million plus add-ons, right? But he's only on, I say only, but he's probably on, I don't know, say 100 grand a week, something like that. And when you work it out then, like the cost and the fee and everything, he's actually way, way cheaper than some players who have come on a free, because the wages they get as a free, like Rabiot to go to United wanted like 300 grand a week plus a 15 million signing on fee. So yeah, he's free, but actually is their wage and the signing on fee means that over that financial fair pay period, they cost a lot more. So it's definitely an interesting conversation. You know, Jadon Sancho was on what, like nearly 400 grand a week, but he costs whatever it was, 70 million. So it's very interesting. Very interesting. I'm sure, look, Mbappe with Bellingham just behind him and all the other players he got, like they got some awesome young players. Who's the Camavinga is one. He's one of my favorite players. I rate him so highly. Like they are going to be a force to reckon with for the next few years, because you're going to have not just some of the best players around, most creative players, most fast players, most skillful, hardworking players, but also the fact that they're all like early to mid 20s. So they could be a real problem for the rest of Europe in the Champions League. Like Bellingham is doing things that I think even people who rate, you know, I rated him like highly, I'm sure like loads of other people, everyone rated him so highly, but I don't think anybody expected him to go to Madrid and like just break records and be so sensational. And he's so young, like it's wild. He could really go on and be one of you know, if he stays injury free and he keeps progressing and he doesn't get kind of distracted by the off the field sort of fame and celebrity that will obviously come with performing on the pitch, he could be, you know, one of the next sort of generational talents. Like, I really believe that, but I don't think he's there quite yet because he's so young. Obviously, you know, he's going to have to take it into the next few seasons, win Champions Leagues and perform at those levels, perform in international tournaments. I said the other day, like as a Welshman, the thought of England having a midfield of Declan Rice, Kobbie Mainoo and Bellingham it makes me feel sick, because to me, from what I've seen of both Mainoo and Mainoo, I've obviously seen more of Bellingham, but like what I've seen of Kobbie Mainoo, he's such a special player potentially. He's 18 and he is like the first name on the team sheet for United. He is exceptional. My cat's come to join me. And I just think that from an English point of view, that could be problematic for the rest of us. But luckily, they've got Gareth Southgate in charge, and he probably won't even take Kobbie Mainoo in the summer. He'll probably take Jordan Henderson and Calvin Phillips, which is, well, you can all have your own views on that. But to me, it's a no-brainer. I wouldn't just take Kobbie Mainoo. I would also start Kobbie Mainoo, and I would start that midfield three, regardless of age and the rest of it. You've got to be brave. You've got to do these things. I would take Jordan Henderson to the tournament. I just wouldn't. He wouldn't play or start. He might come off the bench in the knockout stages to shore some games up, some tight games, I think. But I would definitely take him because there's, thanks for that, so many young players around that I think Jordan Henderson's experience and he's won things. so I would have him around if I was Gareth Southgate. Like, having watched, I don't know if any of you guys watched Jose Mourinho's interview on Rio Ferdinand's YouTube channel. It's fascinating to listen to. He's such an engaging character. And like, Mourinho is like, he's must watch, like, he's blockbuster thing viewing. Like, whenever I used to hear him speak, I'm engaged and I listen to him. And, you know, he's had his moments over the years, but like, I think he offers a lot to the right place. I think he did a great job at Roma when they needed him to do that job. And I'll tell you one thing, if Southgate was to leave after the summer tournament and Mourinho was to take over that England job, I don't think he would, because from what he says, he was offered it before. And he likes to be working every day, from what he said, rather than international job is maybe not like a daily thing. I think if he took over the England job, I'd be genuinely worried that they would win some tournaments. Calvin Phillips, mate, right? Just seen he's mentioned in the comments. What a shit show. He's been awful for West Ham since he's gone there. And look, to be fair, the lad has played like minutes of football over the last few years. And I understand he's been, you know, coached by Pep and training with these players. And, you know, you'd expect a bit more. But like, the man hasn't played football for so long. He's going to be rusty. But I've seen him constantly giving the ball away. I think he got sent off the other day. Like, it's almost comical. I'm sure if David Moyes sticks with him, if David Moyes keeps his job, if they stick with him, I believe that he will come good. I think he's decent. I don't think he's like class or anything like that. Like, I don't think he's going to ever be a top player, but I think he's a good Premier League holding midfielder and can do a job for certain teams. And I think West Ham would be a good place for him to do that. However, it has been comical watching his first few games. What else did I put in the title? Oh yeah, Kobbie Mainoo's. Would you take, if you were the, I know there's a lot of Welsh people in the YouTube chat and stuff, but if you're England manager, would you take Kobbie Mainoo to that tournament in the summer, or would you pick the experience of Phillips and Henderson? Personally, I'd find a place for Henderson. Even if he wasn't on the playing squad, I would still take him to be around the changing room. But ultimately, if it comes down to either or, I'm taking Kobbie Mainoo and James Ward-Prowse over Calvin Phillips and Jordan Henderson in the playing squad. There's not a doubt in my mind, because I don't think England win that tournament or even get far in that tournament if they're relying on Jordan Henderson and Calvin Phillips in 2024. I would argue like Declan Rice is going to be the one of a double pivot, and then it's who do you partner him with, because Bellingham will probably be in the 10. To me, I think it's got to be Ward-Prowse or Mainoo. I'd probably play Mainoo only because I think Ward-Prowse is probably better in a more slightly more advanced role, but I think James Ward-Prowse is excellent as well, so I would 100% take him. He should have had numerous caps for England already. And I think that, unfortunately for England fans, I think that one of the massive issues, or one of the reasons why they haven't quite got over the line, is Gareth Southgate. I think tactically he's a bit naive.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Barkley has been excellent for Luton. You're right there, Rhys. I would... You say that, he has been excellent for Luton, okay? But I watched the United game the other day, and whilst he did some good things, I think there's better players in that position for England to pick. You know, he's not going to play ahead of Bellingham. I would take Ward-Prowse because he can play that attacking, like that number 10 sort of role, but he could also, he can drop in a bit deeper and play like a deeper midfield role. And I think Barkley probably can't. Barkley's like number 10 or not. And yeah, it's a weird one, though, mate. Like England got some sensational young players coming through. I don't know what on earth my cat is doing, just knocking shit over. I apologise. Right, like I said, if you've got any questions and stuff like that, Dan Ashworth from Newcastle is on gardening leave, which is interesting. So he's on full pay, but he's not allowed at the club, which they had to do. Like, he can't be working when you know he's going to go to United. They'll obviously work out how much it's going to cost United. But I've been very impressed with what Jim Ratcliffe has done so far. Listened to it, or I saw some quotes from his interview yesterday. He's done more in a few months than the Glazers have done in whatever many years they've been there, which is sensational. Like, off the pitch, United seem to be getting it right. And I think the worry for other clubs in the Premier League should be, if they get it right off the pitch, they will get it right on the pitch eventually. And I also think all these people who were like laughing at Ten Hag and saying, from other clubs saying like, oh yeah, keep Ten Hag because he's poor. I think, look, if you have the right structure above him, he's already proven that he can do it in the Champions League and then the Dutch League and last season in the Premier League. It's just about having the right structure off the field to complement him as a coach. And I think, if I was like, you know, a rival fan or whatever, I'd be concerned with what United are doing off the field, because every single person they've either brought in off the field so far or are bringing in, such as Jason Wilcox and Dan Ashworth, these are guys who, over a period of time, will make United a force again. Is where it is. They're getting things right so far, but obviously it's also got to come together and be done. It's not just a case of getting the people in. They got to work. I think Rashford's an interesting one, Lorna, because I actually didn't think he was awful on the weekend. I thought he's very hot and cold at the moment. And I think also he's had a poor season. He just doesn't look happy. Like, his body language and his work rate and everything, like, Rashford just doesn't look happy, which is puzzling to me. Like, and you never know what's going on in people, you know, these guys' private lives and stuff like that. But like, looking at it just on the basis of what we do know, he gets paid a boatload of money every week. He plays for his boyhood club in the Premier League. He starts every week. Like, it's the dream. It's everyone's dream growing up. And to see him look so, he looks frustrated. He looks angry. He looks down week in, week out as well. Like, something's not right for me. Like, it's a speculation. And as I say, like, people criticize United and say how bad they are and blah, blah, blah. They even lost the Premier League game in 2024 and they've won four on the bounce. I think attacking wise, they look good. I think Hoyland starting to show really, really what he's about. I think he's going to be a quality striker. I do really think his all round game is good as well. But they've got to create for him. And it's mad. Like, he scored all these, like, 7 in 6 games now. But like, I think only 2 have been assisted by teammates, which is insane to me. I do think Reece says Madrid with Mbappe going to Madrid, do you think PSG will come in for Rashford? I absolutely do think they'll come back in for him. And if I was United and PSG put 100 million on the table, I would probably take it. Even though he's a homegrown player and the rest of it. And I almost think that it would be the right time for him to leave in some ways. Like, in other ways, I think they should keep him and stick with him, because I do think he'll come good again. He is very much, he seems to be very much like a streaky player. Like, he'll have a good run, a bad run, a good run, a bad run. I wonder if, you know, they could play Garnacho back off the left and get another right winger in. Or, but look, signing players doesn't always work out. Like, they thought, what's his head? Sancho was the answer to the right wing problems. And look how that turned out. Like, just because you sign a good player on paper doesn't mean it always comes off. Whereas at least with Rashford, you know, he can do it and he's done it before. It's obviously profit for, because he's an academy player, in terms of FFP and stuff like that. The one thing I'd say about United is they've got their under 18 side is jam packed with players who look, at least at this point, like, obviously they've got a year or two to really show if they're going to become first team players. But there's a couple within that side who look more than capable of stepping up. Someone pointed me to that Harry Hamas, the left back, who we discussed a bit last week. So I had like a little nose, because there's like full highlights of the under 18s league on YouTube. And I just had a little nose, and they got that lad they signed from Cardiff, that Gabriel Buncheri. Harry Hamas looks like, it's almost like, like Harry Hamas, I would almost consider starting on Saturday, because they've got a real problem. Luke Shaw's out. Obviously, Malassi is gone for a while. They sent Reguilon back, and Lindelof looks awkward and shite at left back. So if he's not going to move Deleu over, which I understand, because Deleu's been so good on the right, I'd be tempted to give Harry Hamas a start, even though he's like 16, 17, because that's how good he is. But Gabriel Buncheri, who went from Cardiff to United, I saw some of his highlights recently. He does seem to come off the bench more when he starts, but I mean, he's not been there that long. But he looks a boy, like, he looks good. Be interesting, because I think he's got, he can obviously play for Wales, but I think he can also play for Italy, I think it is. But he's able to represent England, Wales, Italy at international level. He's played for Wales through the age groups. Hopefully he plays for Wales, and hopefully Wales cap him. So his decisions are out of his mind there, because he looks a real player. Unfortunately, Cardiff couldn't hold on to him, but you can't forego young players taking a chance when a big club comes in. You just can't. It's a very short career. It's a lot of luck and things involved in getting the opportunities. So you can't begrudge them if they gamble on themselves. Yes, Brownie, it was very good to see you the other day, mate. Hope you're doing well, my friend. Dani Alves, I just didn't see that earlier. So former Barcelona defender, Dani Alves, has been found guilty of raping a woman in a Barcelona nightclub. He's been sentenced to 4.5 years in prison. The 4-year-old is one of the most decorated footballers in history, had denied the allegations on the 31st of December 2022. His lawyer has asked for an acquittal and said that she would appeal against the verdict. The lawyer for the victim welcomed the verdict, saying that it recognises what we have all known, that the truth, as told by the victim, and the suffering has been there. As well as handing Alvarez a 4.5-year sentence, the court said he should face a further 5 years probation. The prosecution asked for a 9-year sentence, but in Spain, a claim of rape is investigated under the general accusation of sexual assault. Convictions can lead to prison sentences of 4 to 15 years. According to Spanish media, the court took into account Alves's decision to pay the victim $150,000 in damages, regardless of the outcome of the trial when it was decided the length of his prison term. The court did not, however, accept the argument put forward by his lawyers that he should have been given a more lenient sentence because he was drunk. His wife, Joanna, said he had appeared very drunk when he got back to their home. on the night of in question and had bumped into furniture before collapsing into the bed. The court argued that his alcohol consumption had not affected his behaviour. Interesting. But, I don't know, it's just depressing, isn't it, that there's people doing these things. But if he's been found guilty in a court of law at the end of the day, so that's about all we can say. Right, rounding up, if you've got any questions, get them in now. If you live in Wales and you fancy coming to our next live event on the 10th of May with Willie Boland, is in Pontypridd. Tickets are £10. You can get them by emailing Snowy Insole at the Rose and Crown in Ponty. It's going to be another cracking night. I went up there the other day, had a little look around, see where I'm going to put the camera and all that malarkey. It's going to be a great night. Really, really looking forward to it. Xabi Alonso is an interesting one. Obviously doing a phenomenal job at Leverkusen. He seems like almost like he'd be the natural successor to Jurgen Klopp. Like, it seems obvious, doesn't it? But Bayern Munich are also looking for a manager come the end of the season. I'm sure there'll be at least one other club, who are a big club, who are looking for a manager. His reputation has gone up tenfold. And if you watch the way Leverkusen play, one, it's extremely enjoyable to watch, but two, the tactically, the way he plays is really interesting, and I really like it. Tell you what, on tactics, I was listening to someone the other day, and really interesting, because it had come about, right, so basically on social media, some Arsenal fans had said, if Fergie and his team played now, they would get destroyed, because Fergie only had one way of playing, blah, 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 blah. And this guy was talking on a podcast, I think it was, and he was saying basically Fergie played inverted fullbacks before it was called inverted fullbacks. You'd have like the Neville brothers or whoever, they would tuck into midfield so Keane and Scholes could go forward, which I thought was quite interesting. And I wouldn't mind having a little look and investigate into that. And also, like, he used to play very different in Europe to after the 30, like, they failed for a couple of seasons in Europe trying to play the normal way. They got caught out in over two legs and stuff. And then he adapted the way he played. They used to sit with a low block and they used to encourage, let the other team have the ball. And then they would hit him on the break with the pace and the quality they had going forward. So I think sometimes, and maybe it's like a younger generation who didn't live through it, but I think you'd be very naive and almost show your ignorance to say that Fergie only played one way, or he was tactically not up to what the managers of today are, because the one thing he did always was adapt every season. You know, he had different assistant managers. He was very clever with, like, who he brought in. He would get rid of players before, like, sometimes out of the blue, and people would be like, oh, why is he getting rid of him? Like Jaap Stam, one of the greatest, from a quality point of view, Jaap Stam is one of the greatest Premier League defenders to ever step foot in the league. But I think he only done, like, two seasons at United because Fergie didn't like that he had put a book out. You know, Beckham, the list is endless. Paul Ince, he got rid of him before everyone else expected it. Like, he was ruthless. But like I say, to say that tactically he was not up to these managers now, I think is ridiculous. It was just, and the other thing, like playing a number 10 or a Trequister or whatever they call it, like Dwight York, Cantona, all these guys used to play like a deep lying striker, a number 10. So that was fascinating to me, like, to hear that kind of back and forth and listen to it. And that, like, it's probably people who didn't live through it, didn't witness it, didn't watch these games week in, week out, and see how those teams played. Will Neymar visit him in jail? Brownie says, you are Salah get dropped to 2 years in prison and appeal, whereas in Spain, any prison sentences for 2 years are in there. You don't get go to jail. You're just on tag. So Reese says, next season, Arsenal's cheapest season tickets will be 1,073. How can any club justify that? It's disgraceful, mate. It's sickening what all football clubs charge their fans in the Premiership, Premier League, and the Championship is disgusting. But people pay it, and Arsenal know this. They've probably got a waiting list of some sort for season tickets. They have got to pay for their stadium, mate. And whilst people pay it, the clubs will still do it. On that, like just on Cardiff City briefly, like season ticket, like when they want to sell the season tickets is coming up now, and like I struggle to think it's the the 25th anniversary of something, and like they I struggle to see how they're going to market those season tickets, because they certainly aren't going to market on the style of football or the results or whatever. Yeah, guys, drop a like on the video, share it, all that sort of stuff. It really helps us out. If you really want to do me a favor, when the live finishes and the live chat goes away, drop a comment end of the video, because that really helps with all the algorithms and stuff like that. I can see there's a few of you watching on YouTube and Twitter and stuff, so please do that. Last chance to get a few questions in before I go. What else did we want to talk about? Oh, we got to do a Super Six predictions as well. We'll get them ready, shall we? Joe Hart's going to retire at the end of the season. He's a weird guy. He was like his career kind of like almost fizzled out a little bit. Strange. Had his moments though, where he was a really good keeper. The season ticket thing is like, it's a never-ending argument, because clubs will never, they won't reduce the prices and the cost to match going fans generally, not just season tickets, just general cost. They won't reduce it until the fans stop paying it. So if like fans go to the stadium, but they don't buy the burgers and the drinks and everything, then they'll bring the prices down. But in turn, if stadiums start to be empty or not full, they'll bring the prices down. But while they're full, while people are still buying the food, the drinks, everything which goes with it, they'll keep the prices as high as possible, because they've all, particularly in the Premier League, they've got a such as with financial fair play, they've got to make money everywhere. It's tricky, it's difficult, but and I think, don't get me wrong, it's disgusting, I hate it, but it just kind of is what it is. You've got some wicked podcasts coming on Ace Podcast Nation over the next couple of weeks. Just off the top of my head, I've got Johan, who's the owner and designer of Welsh clothing brand Cambrenesis. We talked about music, football, clothes. His clothes are wicked, and they are really, really coming good. And it's going to be... we've got that. We've got one with Tony Rivers talking about his book. And who else we got? We got Rapper 40. Oh, there's low. I got about four or five in the bank. I also got a former Cardiff City captain coming on next week, which I'm recording on Wednesday. The Paulie boy's come in. I know he's just come in, right? He's just coming in to say something about the Super Six. But unfortunately, I'm just about wrapping up. But I'll let him come in just so he can have his moment, because he's had a tough couple of seasons. Here you are, Paulie boy. How are you, mate?
Yeah, better.
Yeah, you just wanted to come and say hello, didn't you? And just
No. The title speech, the speech itself at the bottom.
No, it's, even if you run away with it, mate, it'll still be 2-1 to me when historically speaking. So, is what it is, isn't it?
Where were you at?
You are.
Where was you at then?
I was just talking generally. I'm kind of tired. I was just about to wrap up, really. We talked about Xavi Alonso and like the options he'll have at the end of the season, with the Liverpool job will be open, the Bayern job's going to be open, the Barcelona job's going to be open. Do you think he's nailed on to replace Klopp?
out of them options, I think Liverpool would tug on the heartstrings more, wouldn't it? He had a good time there, and he seemed to, you know, he was a good player for him.
I think so, mate. I've been really impressed with him. I watched a couple of Leverkusen games this year, and not just, you know, they're winning and stuff like that. They're entertaining to watch. Like, just tactically and the way they play is quite interesting. And I think it's good signs, but it's also still very early in his managerial career, isn't it? But, like, if he goes and wins a league against Bayern, I think it's massive, isn't it? Like, because not many teams pip them to a title, especially in recent. I think they've won four.
No, for never ever to win the Bundesliga. So, yeah, it'd be massive. And they haven't won it for like 11 years. I mean, they haven't lost it for like 11 years or something, Bayern Munich. So,
yeah, it's something ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah, so Harry Kane popped us again.
I know, I was going to say, I'd like.
I'm sure they'll win something. They're not going to go 3 or 4 years by not winning anything. So I'm sure he'll win the league somehow.
Yeah, no, I'm sure he'll win something during his time there. But it is ironic, isn't it, that he's gone there and then they're not going to win. Well, they may not win. They might still win it, I suppose. There is one for you there, mate. See what you think about this. Because I had this conversation with someone yesterday. And I talked about it a bit earlier. There's an argument to be made that Spurs look better without Harry Kane. Bayern, Kane's doing amazing. He's scoring loads of goals, got assists and stuff. But as a team, they're not doing as well as they were previously. And the thing I kind of compared it to is when Van Nistelrooy was at United, he was there for 4 or 5 seasons, but they only won one league title. His personal record, I think he scored 230 in 200 games. One of the best centre-forwards the Premier League's ever seen. But as a team and as a unit, there's an argument that United were better before and after when they won, you know, they won more league titles in the period just after. So do you think you could make similar arguments with Kane and Spurs that, yes, he's a phenomenal, one of the best forwards in the world, but actually, as a team, Spurs are functioning better without him?
Do you really believe that?
No, it's just a conversation, mate. I just... It was something which I heard someone else talk about.
No, Ruud van Nistelrooy, to compare Ruud van Nistelrooy to Harry Kane is probably wrong. Ruud van Nistelrooy is probably the only out-and-out goal scorer that Man United have had. Wayne Rooney could score goals, but playing in the hole. Dwight York, even Andy Cole, he was a Ruud van Nistelrooy at the time, but he worked in his game massively. Can drop deep and can hold the ball, he's back to goal. And Harry Kane can do that as well. I just think with the new coach they've got, how offensive he is, it just stopped him doing that. It just, we don't need you coming down and dropping deep. We want you to score goals, so you need to stay there. Because, you know, Harry Kane was kind of doing what he wanted, dropping in midfield, playing midfield. No, we don't need you there. We need you up. So I think his coaching would have benefited. And yeah, to say, would you be better off with Harry Kane? You would like to think there'd be maybe 6 or 7 points better off, but where would that put them then?
So if they had 6 more points, they'd still be in the same place. They'd still be fifth.
So, yeah, so if you give them another 7 points, yeah, so... Yeah, but they'd be in the mix, though. They'd be in the mix, though, wouldn't they?
Yeah, they'd be a bit closer, yeah. Wouldn't they?
They'd be like, you know, they'd be in the hunt. So with a game behind, if they won that and got Liverpool, they would be on 57 points. So no, I would disagree with you about the Ruud van Nistelrooy thing, because Ruud van Nistelrooy was just an out and out goal scorer. He didn't bring anyone else into play. He was just out and out goals.
Mm.
All the mostly Manchester United strikers, they can drop in and hold it and play. Van Persie, he could do that. Where Ruud van Nistelrooy couldn't really do that.
Yeah, he was just out.
He could do it, but it wasn't his strength. He wasn't interested in doing it. He was interested in scoring goals, Ruud van Nistelrooy. And he's very good at it.
Yeah, he's one of the best out-and-out goal scorers I think the Premier League's ever seen. Interestingly, I can't remember who said it. I remember someone who used to play with him saying that, if United won, but he didn't score, he was pissed.
And I've played with players like that. So I understand it and I believe it. Because I've literally played with players like that. You'd win 5-0, and if they didn't score, they'd be just goal scorer, was just selfish goal scoring, but that's the way they are.
Yeah, but it also that mentality plays into how good they are.
Yeah, absolutely.
Interesting. The other thing we talked about earlier was the moves the United are making off the pitch. I think
it's baby steps. They've got to be baby steps now. They can't be rushed. So get the right people in behind the scenes in place, and then obviously, which is what they're doing, and then they can sort it out stuff on the pitch when they've got the right people and bring the right people in, and which will save millions.
Yeah, I mean, they've got a crop of incredible youngsters coming through as well, and it's like I was interested. I saw a bit of Jim Ratcliffe's interview yesterday, and if I was Ten Hag, for instance, I'd be quite excited by what I was hearing, because I do think if Ten Hag has got the structure above him, I believe that he's the right manager for United. I think he showed enough last year, and he's shown enough in the Champions League with Ajax and people like that. I think it's been very difficult this year with the injuries, that certain players probably he doesn't want and things like that. But I think if you can get the structure right off the field for United, I think rival fans will start to get a bit twitchy and a bit worried, because I think once that's right off the field, then they'll start spending their money more intelligently. They'll get rid of certain players who probably shouldn't be there. It's going to be fascinating, mate, because everything I've seen in the last few weeks that Jim Ratcliffe's done, I think he's done more in the last few weeks than the Glazers have done in the whole time.
Again, with Mason Greenwood, wasn't
it? And to be fair to him, to Jim Ratcliffe, right, he couldn't give any other answer. His answer was basically, we'll look at all the evidence, blah, 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 and we'll make a decision that's right for Manchester United. And that was, like, he can't say, what else is he going to say? Like, he's not going to go, oh, yeah, we're going to have him back, or, yeah, we're going to sell him, or, like, he's just got to kind of go with, because he wasn't there when it all happened. So, I don't know what people expected him to say other than that, you know?
Just have to wait and see.
That's it, mate. Super Six predictions. We're just about to do them when you come in, so it's good timing. We have got, I don't know what is going on with my kitten. This one kitten's just, can you hear him?
I thought it was a baby.
No, it's my kitten, one of them, and he's just in here and he's just shouting. I don't know what's the matter with him.
My dog's perfectly quiet, just sat here like, hey, boy, come here, come on.
Yeah, he's always quiet, isn't he?
Come on, boy. Come on.
He never does your head in when you're recording. Man United versus Fulham is first up, mate, at United. Surely United will continue their winning run, wouldn't they?
Who've we got? Forest.
Fulham, at home.
You'd expect to at home. At home, but Fulham, you know, playing pretty well recently. But yeah, home win you should expect, really. Are we doing a Super Six now?
Yeah, I've gone 3-0, I have.
You've gone 3-0. Now I'm gonna go 2-1. I'm gonna give Fulham a bit more respect. So 2-1.
The other thing I said here, I think Harriet, that young left back United have got my play on Saturday. Because I think Lindelof has looked, what's the nice way of putting it? He's looked troubled at left back. And I think because Luke Shaw's out, I wouldn't be surprised to see that Harry Amass, he's been training with the first team.
Possibly.
It's a home game as well, so you can kind of give him an hour or whatever.
Playing well, you have to mix up too much. Don't really want to move Dallo, because Dallo's playing pretty well on the right as well. So.
Yeah, I think there's certainly a chance. Then you've got Villa versus at home to Nottingham Forest.
Forest 1-0.
I'm going to go 2-0 Villa. Bournemouth versus Man City at Bournemouth.
3-1.
I'm going to go 2-1 City. Arsenal home at Newcastle, mate. That's an interesting game, actually. Newcastle's away form has been sensational recently. I think I'm going to go 2-2.
2-0 Arsenal.
Oh, the shout. Wolves are home to Sheffield United.
Can't go 3-1 again, can I? I'm going to go 1-0.
I got 2-0 Wolves. I've gone. You want 1-0 who?
1-0 Wolves.
And then finally, in the Carabao Cup final, Chelsea versus Liverpool. Surely Liverpool, isn't it?
Chelsea played well against City the other day.
They did. Has Pochettino ever won a trophy?
Don't think so. Not in England, has it?
I don't think he has, have he?
No.
Interesting one.
Last final, probably, well, one of the last finals, so...
I'm going to go 3-2 Liverpool, I am. I think Tottenham score.
Tottenham?
Chelsea, sorry, mate.
2-1 Liverpool. I was going to go 2-0, but 2-1 Liverpool.
Right. 3-2 Liverpool for me. So that's that.
So what will I I'm going to go usual minutes, lucky number, submit predictions. My finger gets tired scrolling down to see where you are, so I give up. I just know where I am. I'm in the top 36. So I don't know where you are. Have we got time? We've got a couple of minutes to scroll down to find you. 1 minute. Hang on, viewers. Just keep going. It's 1 minute. 54. There we go. Outside the fifth by top 50 by 15 points. So, yeah, got a long way to go.
Yeah, are you done?
13 points. Sorry, 13 points. You're off being the top 50.
I'll get there eventually, mate. Don't I just have to.
Embarrassing enough, because I'm in the 300 club.
Oh, mate. Yeah. The thing is, it got to a point where I had to make it interesting for the viewers, didn't I? Like, I was running over there. Season, it was getting a bit
old. The old horse fans, and we'd be like, Istabrak, what a horse, Black, just sailing now, bosh, gone.
Quick question, mate. Did you watch Oban's debut in the UFC on Saturday?
Say again?
Did you watch Oban Elliott's debut on
Saturday? Yeah, what do you think?
I thought he was very good.
Yeah, very, very good, yeah.
He looked slick. Yeah. And the thing is, mate, for whatever reason, particularly American fighters, they seem to really, really underestimate the British fighters' ability to wrestle and grapple. We still, way, way back in the day when the UFC was in its early days, the British fighters did have that sort of weakness with wrestling and grappling.
Same anymore, though, mate. Oban probably be taking his advantages, working at the PI, doing his stuff there. Where obviously UFC fighting can do that. So taking all advantages, he's obviously got a good team, good, great work ethic, and let him keep on doing that, mate, and he'll just keep on getting them Ws.
100%, mate. Just got to work his way up now, isn't he? And the thing he's got as well is he's quite slick on the mic and stuff. So if he keeps winning, he'll progress and he'll make a name for himself. I got no doubt. And he's got good people around him. And he's a really super, super sound lad as well. Got a lot of
weight. What weight was he again?
Welter, wasn't it?
150, 155, wasn't it?
I think so. No, 175, I think.
170. So that's pretty open, that. Who's the champ there now?
Oh, that's a question now.
Is that the Sean Strickland one? It's the
lower
one,
isn't it? Let's have a quick
note. Makachev's 155, isn't it?
Yeah, 155. So what's 175? Leon Edwards. Leon Edwards, isn't it? Of course it is.
Yeah, Leon Edwards, of course it is. Yeah, so, it's a shark tank, that.
Yeah, especially after Ian Garry won as well. So he's, moved up the rankings as well.
He's 185, though, Ian Garry.
I think he's going to fight Colby Covington next. I do.
He's 185, so he's not. He's not nothing. He's not near the 170 yet.
No, well, right. So, I don't know. Well, Ian Garry's in this in the division that Leon Edwards is in because he's ranked.
So that's
sixth. So that's welterweight, and then
is that the 170. That
I think so. Yeah, 175 is welterweight.
One, yeah, 185 is Strickland on it.
Yeah, no, the other way. So you've got middleweight, it's Strickland, isn't it? And
yeah, so yeah, it's a sharp time, that mate. Caught, yeah, so
yeah, mate, it's some but, wicked.
No, there's some of them are aging fighters, though, aren't they?
Yeah, there's a few in there, mate, which look like
one of them, you know, the young crew coming up. Always, yeah. Always, them youngy, hungry kids is coming up, and he looks like one of them. So yeah, keep the good performances and keep it up because yeah, it was slick, that.
Yeah, it was impressive. He couldn't have done much else other than finish it. Like, but they don't always have to do that, do you?
Because no, good to get the rounds in as well, mate. Good to get the rounds in early experience. Yes, you know, as long as you keep picking them W's up, you're always going to get the shit fights, the good fights, the average fights. But, you know, rough for the smooth, and just as long as the W's, you keep moving, don't you?
Indeed, mate. And the best thing is he's a proper nice bloke, so...
He's
sound, isn't he? So that's he goes, mate. Right, nice one, mate. Nice one for popping on. I know you're feeling rough, so
just you know what? I was bad when I messaged you, but yeah, just had a bit of soup, done the job. So
the way, mate, get yourself some sleep now, and you'll be right as rain for tomorrow.
Well, I'm watching The Kin. Have you watched Kin?
No, what's that?
It's an Irish. Gang affiliated series. I'm on the second series. That's really good. If you see it pop up, watch it. It's called Kin.
What's it on?
Pardon?
What's it on?
Don't know. Yeah, it's. I don't know where you can get it on. That no, there is. Yeah, so I'll chat to you off.
I know what you mean. it's all good. Right, nice one, mate. See you next week. Nice one, viewers. Like, subscribe, share, all that good stuff. I'll be back tomorrow on Cardiff City World for the preview, but we'll be back next week. And also,
future
we'll be
dropping... Super 6 2024.
Sports Social Podcast Network.